Some of you I know because you're over 60. And you were here last time I was down in this, like you. Yes, and a few others. So it's good to see you again. We have a Bible verse there. I firmly believe in encouraging people to actually get the Word of God in their heart. But you see, I'm one of those guys who, well, my grandchildren like to tell me, "Grandpa, you're becoming a dinosaur." Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The longer you live and know Christ, if you're a Christian, if you are really getting to know Him, His Word becomes part of you because you're becoming more like Him. We set up Creation Research for that reason. My background is in geology. I've just come down from Canberra, had a presentation to give there to one of the research guys up there on some of our research. But I was in schools, in education, in tertiary level, and I discovered one problem. Most of the kids, the minute you talk to them about Jesus, their defense would be, "What about dinosaurs? What about evolution? What about millions of years?" I go to Grace Bible Church in Brisbane, and we have one young man who I'll bring up a little bit later who I also got to meet up there. And we send out young people every year to go to Schoolies Week. And just 2 years ago, I thought, I'm going to interview them, see if things have changed with the youth out there. So I actually got them when they came back and I said, "What's the commonest questions that you have?" And 8 out of 10 said, "Dinosaurs, Adam and Eve, the age of the earth, Noah's flood, the ark. How could you believe that stuff?" So I may be a little mature in years, but the one thing, the devil hasn't changed. And he keeps undermining the Word of God from the beginning. So we set up Creation Research. You can see our website there, creationresearch.net. We will have a question and answer time tonight, but there is a Q&A section on the web. And I guess if Pastor Todd made any error in judgment today, he only told me when I had to start. He didn't tell me when I had to finish. So I'm looking forward to this morning, and I hope you are as well. I'll bring your attention back to that Bible verse, because when I first became a Christian, I became a Christian through reading a textbook by an atheist. So do you understand that God has a good sense of humour? And nothing is impossible to Him. And as I read the Bible from cover to cover, this is one verse that leapt out at me because this issue was a problem. I learned it in good old King James. It's still up there in good old King James. "Thy word is true from the very beginning." And the very beginning is where Pastor Todd read at the start. In the beginning was the Word. Now, as you came in, you would have been given a free brochure. And you will read more about Creation Research in there. You'll read we've got a museum in Queensland. You can read all sorts of stuff. You can see some materials out on the bookshop. And Balash and a few others, myself included, will be out there. But many of you don't know much about what we do. So I thought I'd tell you a little bit about one of the projects that really excites me. We've called it Jurassic Ark because the rocks are technically known as Jurassic. You know what was amazing about that? The man who invented the word Jurassic believed in 6 days of creation. He believed in Noah's flood. Jurassic doesn't mean millions of years. It means like the rocks in the Jura Mountains in southern Germany. Or didn't they tell you that at school? No. You are told about millions of years, how the word of God can't be true from the beginning. So we set up Jurassic Ark. It's near Gympie in Australia because we found a huge fossil deposit there. Well, my mum says, I used to bash rocks when I was a little kid just to see what was inside them. So I guess God already had a career picked out for me, even though I didn't know it. Jurassic Ark, fossils. We have all sorts of groups there, primary schools, high schools. We have the public. We have great things to see. We even have a little model of Noah's Ark. And we have a huge one too. Quite amazing. Okay, we have kids who come along and they learn how to excavate fossils. We even use the fossils. Oh, these are words you don't normally hear in sermons, aren't they? FOSS means a hole. IL refers to what's in it. I mean, wasn't it interesting, Pastor, on that word for weight, meaning like you're tied up, you can't go anywhere? Words are important. God's word is true from the beginning. Fossils, look what we do with it. See the fossil tree standing upright? We've turned it into the world's first petrified tree sundial. I mean, what else do you do with fossil trees? By the way, do you realize sundials are more accurate than these things? Really important. Oh, you're all looking at the dinosaur, aren't you? But don't be surprised. The young kids are sidetracked by dinosaurs, millions of years, and evolution. You know what happened to the dinosaurs, don't you? They're still here, except they turned into parrots and pigeons. And most of the kids out there, that's what's in their head. You're here on Sunday morning, you're learning God's word is true from the beginning. You want to talk to them? They're on a different planet. They think death happened all by itself. You know, or you should know, the Bible says death is a penalty. Wow. We're going to learn today about communicating to that world out there with the real world, historic, present and future. We have crowds. I'd encourage you to come to visit us in Queensland. We have open days. We even show you all our model dinosaurs. The kids can ride on a patasaur. Oh, some of you get that pun because a patasaurus is an actual name for a dinosaur. And look, we had one dad bring his little boy and there's all these big models of dinosaurs and the dad says, "Don't go near the dinosaurs!" And the kid rushes over and hugs one and says, "I love dinosaurs!" They do, by the way. That's why you'll see there's quite a bit of literature out there on dinosaurs because, well, do you realise 30 years ago the sceptics reached a very valid conclusion. They said the best way to undermine Christianity, the best way to undermine the gospel, the best way to defeat the Bible is dinosaurs. You don't have to mention God. You don't have to mention evolution. The kids just absorb it. Millions of years ago, a meteorite hit the planet. And all of a sudden, Noah's flood is gone. And millions of years ago, dinosaurs grew feathers. All of a sudden, Genesis 1 is gone. It's easy. You didn't even have to attack the Bible. Well, watch out for roaring lions, the scripture says. Watch out for angels of light that are harder to see. Satan is very clever. There are some Christians who are pretty clever too. Do you see these? This is a high school. It was just there a little while ago. Do you see our 3D dinosaur that just pops out? Virtual reality? It's amazing. And Noah's Ark, the whole size is virtual. You can walk through it. Quite amazing. And they fly over you. And the kids think this is impressive. Don't be surprised we can do this. We're made in God's image and he created the originals. We can only create the fakes. Oh, they're pretty impressive fakes. But we can create and the monkeys and the apes and the gorillas can't. Because God's word is true from the beginning. Sadly, some haven't made it to the present. That's a drowned dinosaur. And people say, how do you know that? Well, no, we don't go around drowning dinosaurs. But most of the dinosaurs you find whole have their neck bent over. No, don't worry. I haven't got onto the sermon yet. I'm just introducing the ministry to you. Do you know what we've discovered? I don't know if you've seen a drowned body, but I have. The first thing that happens when you drown is, you've got to take your last breath. Your neck goes back and if you've got a tail, it springs up over the top of you. That dinosaur was provably drowned. And there are those scientists who've done the experiments to prove it with present day reptiles and chickens and things like that. Amazing. But if you find most of the fossils drowned, I wonder what the evidence actually means. Well, the one thing you'd be blunt about, it doesn't mean they grew feathers and turned into parakeets or dodo birds. Can I encourage you? Come visit Jurassic Ark when you're passing up through Brisbane. It's interesting. But if you can't get there, you can have a look at the book table. Maybe a couple of people out there. And yes, I do believe they take cash as well as credit cards and things like that. And you're wondering what we do with it. It's what helps us keep Jurassic Ark afloat and do the research. What's in the book? Well, I decided to take my grandchildren on a trip to Jurassic Ark. And look what we do. Oh, do you see up in the corner, there's a little footprint? Now, wherever you see that footprint, you can actually activate the page and it will come alive to you. Kids think this is wonderful. We have a book I'm going to give away in a moment, if I can. We're going to let the ladies have a competition first. I believe in rewards, sometimes known as bribery, but they are encouraging, right? This one here comes alive too for the little kids. What happens? Let me see if I can get my lapel mic off here. Actually, there's a roving mic down there somewhere. Let me just get that one. It's a bit easier. Okay, let's see if this works here. You just need to actually click on the page with your phone there active. It should come up in a moment. Yep, there we are. Is this on? Yep,
that doesn't
Welcome sound. To Jurassic Ark. Please keep your seatbelt on at all times in a moving vehicle. And do not feed the fossils.
And it goes on a fair bit further than that too. So you've got all these videos embedded in the books. And the kids, you can't play the video without the book. Because we want kids to read, not just get captured by iPhones. But yet it's an amazing technology. Okay, what has God called me to do? Well, since he saved me, in the most interesting way, of reading one of my favourite books on evolution by an atheist who was poking fun at the Bible, which stimulated me to pick it up, it's the job God has given me. Get people to take off Charles Darwin's glasses and start seeing things God's way. Okay? There's a good reminder. Let his mind be in you that was also in Christ. Lord Jesus, show me how to think. You will love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Now, apologies in advance. I had one young lady come to me after a message and she says, I don't like your sermons. I said, why not? They make me think, and that's hard work. It is. In a fallen word, that can be hard work. So to make it a bit easier for you, if you have trouble with some of the concepts and you want to follow it up, the Lord has led us to put much of what you're hearing today and a lot more in a book. There's question-answer things in a book. There's even T-shirts out there. In fact, I believe there's a young man here who's got one on. Well, would you come out, Mr. Barker, please? Because you're from my old church, aren't you, in Brisbane? And in fact, you're from this old church before you went to somewhere else. Here, you take that microphone. I've got this one. What's your first name?
Bolaj.
Bolaj, you better talk to that.
Bolaj, yeah.
Listen, that's not Australian. Where does it come from?
Hungary.
How do you spell it?
B-A-L-A-Z-S.
Yeah, I always had trouble with that, you know. But listen, I met you a long time ago, didn't I?
Yep.
And you were sharing with me over breakfast just a little bit of encouragement, which sort of encapsulates the whole purpose of our message today and gives it a practical example. So, Bal, how'd you say that again?
Bolaj.
Well, look, you left here how many years ago?
Almost three.
Three. So if you don't know him, say hello to him afterwards. Just take it away. Tell us a bit about what you want to share, and then I'll take back over again.
Okay. Morning, everyone. Yes, before I was a Christian, I used to be a... very arrogant and proud atheist. Back in Brisbane, I remember studying things like civil engineering out of arrogance, hoping to become, I suppose, chase wealth and prestige, these sort of things. Very selfish things. But there were subjects in there such as rock mechanics, geology, earth science, very taught in a very secular way, especially at my university. It was quite anti-Christian. I suppose most universities are, but one of the things that I came away with from there was, if there is no, you know, there's no such thing as God. That was my mentality. If there's no such thing as right or wrong, the concept of good and bad is technically irrelevant if there is no God. I remember I got to a stage when God started to work in my heart, where he drew me, or started drawing me to him, I suppose. I'll only touch on briefly the part related to today. Was my little brother and sister started attending Grace Bible Church in Brisbane, where John goes, and they invited me to an event, I suppose, where John was speaking at Pastor Craig's house for the young adults group, and they said, oh, he's speaking on dinosaurs, and I was, yeah, this is going to be great, we'll see what the weird Jesus freaks are going to say about dinosaurs, right? I thought I'll go in and show John a thing or two. Anyway, I was quite humbled. So the part that I want to touch on was I went along. I couldn't say too much. So John spoke, questions were asked, questions were answered. I couldn't really refute anything. Everything he said made sense. I was on a mindset of, as much as I didn't want there to be a God, I couldn't reject truth. So I thought, if something makes sense or is logical, I can't just reject that, right? I need to think this through. But everything he said made sense, even in the context of what I thought was geology or the sciences I learned. My point is, when I left there, I was quite angry, as in I sort of smiled when I walked off. Even as I speak now, I remember myself walking back to my car, just furious inside. I was so angry, not at John, not at anyone there, but the fact that what he said made sense. That frustrated me because I thought, if what he's saying is true, and God's word is true, and Noah's flood is true, the God of the Bible is true and real, then I'm in big trouble. And it was that made me angry, I suppose. So it's a funny thing, but I can definitely say God used John originally in my walk to becoming a Christian to provoke my thought in understanding these concepts and the Bible being true. And another funny thing that followed on was this obviously provoked me to go look into this stuff more. I started attending heaps of creation research events and CMI, Answers in Genesis, all the similar ones. And I came to a point where I believed in six-day creation before I became a Christian, right? But that doesn't make you a Christian. It's the gospel that saves and the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms you. And I won't go into details of that. John will, I'm sure, preach the gospel in his sermon. But it's a funny thing because the secular world rejects all this stuff. When it is basic science, it's truth. It's not hoo-ha. It's not fluff. These are very credible scientists and great intellectuals who obviously get rejected by the world. But yeah, I can definitely testify to John's ministry being a wonderful ministry used in my life as my walk to become a Christian. I won't go into my full testimony now, but if anyone wants to speak to me after, feel free to come up and talk to me. I'll pass back to John anyway. Thank you.
Would you recommend the young people at university come to our free lunch? Free lunch?
Yes, of course. Bring the biggest questions you can think of. I'm sure John will answer them.
Thanks,
quite
Matt.
Simply.
And you'll be on the book table?
Yes.
And your wife, Heather?
Yes.
That's not the Hungarian name, is it?
No.
Okay, she'll be on the book table because she knows how to use that funny credit card machine, yeah. Doesn't she? So that's good. Listen, thank you, Balish. It's been great to see you again and great to catch up with you. Grab a seat. Oh, sorry. Yes, look, he's wearing one of our shirts like these guys are. So what does it say? Stop following me. We're not related. God created man in his image. That's great. Thank you, mate. Listen, they're available out there as well. And you know why that's important? Young people think they're just animals because that's what evolution teaches them. And if that's true, the gospel has no relevance to them at all. You'll see what the linkage is that God used in you know, that testimony there. God's used it in many people. As somebody said, oh, hey, you've talked to Richard Dawkins. Yes, he's an angry, bitter old man. Do you know why as an atheist he's angry? Because God does exist. The God he doesn't want to exist, he knows innately. The scripture says that, and he's so mad. Yeah, you got that in his testimony too? All right, have a look at that. Today we will challenge you with God's unchanging word, or do you choose man's evolving theories? If you want to pray for us, get our newsletters regularly. They've even got a fancy new electronic sign up out there. I'd encourage you to make use of it. Remember I said I'd try and give you a bit of bribery now, rewarding. One question to the mums or the ladies who are not yet married, who will become mums, your choice. You can have today's message and a lot more besides. Or if you've got kids, who made all the dinosaurs with the interactive game you can play on your smartphone? You only have to answer one question. How good's your memory? No, that's not the question. The question is, what was Psalm 119 verse 60? Put your hand up, ladies, if you can say it. See how we're... Yes, yes.
Thy word is true from the very beginning.
Aren't you married to somebody important? Oh, all right. Sorry, I don't normally give it to employees. Out you come. Out you come. Send him out. Which one does she want? The dinosaur one or the Bible study one? Oh, the dinosaur one. That's what I thought it would be. Right. Okay. Tonight, from nice to nasty, with a great question answer time, snakes, poisons, things like that, it'll be great. But to get onto the message, we've had our Bible readings. Okay. Can I encourage you again? I travel all over the world. I go to places where the Bible has been banned. I go to places where they're on the edge of banning, and you're living one which is getting close to wanting the Bible out of all. I mean, you go around the streets of Sydney today quoting from Corinthians, you'll be in serious trouble, won't you? Yeah. Okay. In the beginning, how does that start again? In the beginning, God created. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was. Now, any Christian should have noticed after a few years of reading their Bible, it seems like John 1 has been parroted from Genesis 1. And you're absolutely right. Okay, you could prove that, by the way. You're a university student. You can actually, you know, you submit your essays, your answers, and now they've got a machine. They run it through to see which part of the web you've stolen it from. Isn't that true? So you run John 1 through it, and it goes flash, 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 copyright Genesis, copyright Genesis. Because it is. In the beginning, God. And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you notice something about John? It's an expansion. It takes a lot of words to say, in the beginning, God. It's expanding on it. All right, let's test you on Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. What's a high school student believe? Have you checked? I've done lots of work in schools over the years, and to most of them, it's in the beginning, hydrogen. Oh, the devil has a great copycat version of Genesis, in the beginning no God, in the beginning hydrogen, and the theory of evolution explains where life came from, how it got here, what it's doing and where it's going. It's a mock copy with no benefit at all. In the beginning God. Question, who's God? Because you see, most people, they think God's a name. God's not a name, it's a position. You can tell this even in English. Do you remember when they blew up the sports arena in Manchester and all the kids got killed at that rock concert? And they photographed it all on their iPhones? Do you remember the commonest phrase? Oh my God! Question. Who are you talking about? They weren't talking about anybody in particular. Don't be surprised. You can actually prove the word God is not a name if you go to Baghdad today and you walk down the street one way saying, I believe God created. The imam will pat you on the back. Wonder what your God's name is. Because you see, I was in Monash University, and when I'd finished, it was a debate set up by the debating society. Praise the Lord, the opposition lost. That's good. So a Hindu student came up and said, and who is your God? I said, my God is Jesus. Oh, what is he like? So I gave him a nice little rundown of what Jesus was like. Wonder what your answer would be. And he said to me when I finished, oh, he sounds very good. I think I'll add him to my gods. I said, whoa. I said, let me read you something about this God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. I said, you can't add this Jesus to your gods. Oh, I do not like that. And he turned around and walked away. And I thought, you poor young man, you've just forsaken eternal life with Jesus Christ. Oh, the connection between Genesis 1 and John 1. In the beginning, God. God is not a name, God is a position. That's why you can make money a God. That's why you can make sex a God. It's an old Sanskrit word, really, that's gotten to English. And it's a useful word. But as you go through Genesis, you actually in the end learn who this God is. By the time you get to chapter 2, it says, and the Lord God. Does anyone know what the word Lord is a sort of English easy saying of? It's a name. We used to say Jehovah. When I became a Christian, that was the in thing. Jehovah Jireh. Now you say what? Yahweh. Doesn't work very well when you're singing Yahweh Provider. Doesn't work at all. But anyway, it's interesting. That's a name. God's not a name. God's a position. So do you realize what Genesis is saying? The good news is nothing happened by accident. That's what Genesis says. And Richard Dawkins says everything happened by accident. And Genesis says the one who is the highest, that one made everything. Oh, the name... You can talk to Pastor Todd after. It's interesting.
because it's not a name, but it is a word, and it's got interesting properties. It ends with I am, which makes it plural, and it's got a male verb. This is not a female God. Oh, sorry, this is a politically incorrect time to say things like that, isn't it? But you want to tell me what the Bible says? It's talking about the He God, the He one in charge, the He at the top, who is plural. And that's about all you could say from that word, made everything. In the beginning, God created. By the time you get to John 1, hey, do you realize what it says? It takes three verses to get to that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the dot, 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 all things were made by Him. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is, I mean, in one sense you could say, look how He's got to spell it out for us. Because in Genesis it says it all but four words. In John it takes three verses to get you to the same point. But the interesting thing is, when you look at John's Gospel, who's it about, please? Who's John's Gospel about? Isn't it about Jesus? Jesus is a name. And the angel said, you will call His name Jesus, because He has saved will save His people from their sins. Pastor Todd mentioned the importance of that when we did the little catechism. I know some of you didn't grow up with a catechism. They are very useful ways of getting a summary in your head. So kids, learn what Pastor Todd is doing. You'll find it helpful. And you adults, make sure you learn your Bible verses, and the kids do too. Get them in here. Okay, in the beginning God created what? Come on, you should have it instantly. Created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and empty, and darkness covered the face of the deep. You have nightmares? You're scared of the dark? You shouldn't be. It's God's property. It didn't happen by itself. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything that's in them. There's not a single thing, including darkness, that came into existence all by itself. So if you are afraid of the dark, remember, if the devil is sort of frightening you, remember, hey, get out of here, devil, you're trespassing. This is my Lord's property. He invented the darkness, and He is the God who is light. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things are made by Him. We know who He is, by the way, because by the time you get down to verse 40, look it up, John chapter 1, verse 40. What's it say? And the Word... John chapter 1 verse, it's in the New Testament for some of you. And the Word became flesh, and better than that, He came and lived with us. He dwelt amongst us. You could touch Him. You could eat with Him. This guy was, well, the Bible is emphatic. He was God. There was, you know, beside Him, there was no one but God. There was God who was Father. All things were made by Him. When you get to the book of Hebrews, I've just been visiting one of my grandsons in Canberra who's at the ANU, and together we were looking at the book of Hebrews. You know how it starts? God, who at different times and in different ways has revealed Himself, has spoken to our fathers, through the prophets. He has in these last days spoken to us through His Son, through whom He made all things. So yes, God is plural. And yes, the concept of Father is there, but it is interesting. All things are made by and through and for the Son. Have you picked that up as you read your New Testament? I know many Christians haven't, because I hate to tell on churches, but I gave this message first many years ago in a Baptist church, that all things are made by Christ. And without Christ, nothing was made that was made. Jesus Christ is your Creator. In the beginning, yes, there is Father, yes, there is Spirit. You read basically about the Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 1. You read a lot more in your New Testament when the Spirit is freely given. But when you look at how the Baptists reacted, I'm sure they react better now because I've been teaching this for a long time. You know, the deacons came to me afterwards and said, young man, I told you this was a long time ago, by the way, young man, you're wrong. God created. Jesus is the Savior. Muslims will love that. I've got no problem with that. Jehovah's Witness got no problem with that. Trouble is, the devil loves it, and it's false. Okay, remember I said you walk up one street in Baghdad and shout, "We believe God created?" The imam pats you on the back. Now if you identify this God, the one who is at the top, the one who has made all things, and you give him a name, not just a description, you walk down the other one and say, "We believe all things were made by Jesus Christ." What happens next? Because you're not just talking about one at the top anymore, you are identifying exactly who is your God. Remember that Hindu student? When I said, you can't add Jesus to your gods, you can only go through him to the Father and no other way. Oh, I do not like that. Yep. You need to not only know there is a God, you need to not only know that God has created all things, you need to know who this God actually is. And this is the God who has revealed himself, and he became flesh and he dwelt among us. Okay, go back to Genesis. For yourself, take a minute or so, read the first five verses again. And again, I'd encourage you to get as much of God's word in your heart as you possibly can and in your head. All right. We offered the ladies a prize, and we sort of gave a dinosaur book away because that lady was really interested in dinosaurs. So listen, I'm going to increase the ante here. I have a DVD. I was in London one year and an imam challenged me to a debate, so I really had to hone up on my three or four Qurans that I had, and it was an interesting debate, and this is one of the results, Allah or Christ. Or you can get your own version of this one here, the walking with Jesus through Genesis. If you can tell me what the Bible says about the creation of day and night, just use your own words, a man this time, anybody over 15? Anybody want to tell me what the Bible says about the creation of day and night? Come on, don't cheat, don't look it up, you've already had a chance. Yes, young man. It was very good. That's a good description. Can you tell me what the little bit before that is? God called the... He called it good, but what did he say before that? He called the light and the darkness. Right. And then he pronounced all of this stuff. He said, this is good. God saw that the light was good. Well, better come out and get your prize. Normally this is $20, use your credit card, cash or check, but this is yours free of charge today. What do you want? Walking through Jesus with Genesis, or do you want the Allah of Christ? Okay, there you are. Good. Okay, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. All right, just to begin to head towards the end and wrap this all up, God called the light day and the darkness he called night and the evening morning were the first day. Question, first day of what? First day of what? Now, if we had time to interact and all this, I'd really sort of make this a class, but in reality, it was the first day of the first week, of the first month, of the first year, of the first millennia. This is the invention of time, folks. So all of what you've just read in the first five verses, it's what's happening in the first day. Oh, first day. Flick over to Exodus 20, verse 11. And then we'll try and give you one last prize. And then it'll be open to all the kids. All right? Kids can pick whatever they like and swap it for whatever they want out there. Okay. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And Exodus 20 verse 11, have you got it past the Todd? Do you want to read out in a loud verse for us?
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it.
Okay, now if I was in Israel and I asked them when the seventh day was, when their Sabbath was, the Orthodox Jew would tell you, in if you know your modern Hebrew or whatever, it's the equivalent of our Saturday, but starting sort of at sunset on the Friday, correct? So if the seventh day is the Saturday, what's the first day of the week? You see, people read this and they never even ask, is this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Why don't you ask that? You will love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. You will study to show yourself approved. You know what most of us do? What I did for many years, just read. God never tells us to read. Oh, he encourages us with the rewards. I love that verse in Revelation. Blessed are those who read, because I haven't got a clue what half of that book's about. Have you? Right? But I read it. I love what it says. Okay. And the evening, the morning, were the first day. And the light shone into the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. That's John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5. Can you see that John 1, 1 to 5 and Genesis 1, 1 to 5 are going hand in hand? All right, you Christians, what's the significance of the first day of the week? On that day, the light shone into the darkness. On that day, Jesus rose from the dead. As Paul said, for God who commanded the light to shine has shone in our hearts the light of the glory of God through the face of Jesus Christ. Which meant that when he made the first day, he already had a picture of salvation in mind. Do you realize that? From before eternity, from before time began, all the gospel is already sorted out. None of this is happening by accident. You realize it's hard to come with grips with how powerful this makes God? How big this makes God? I mean, I asked for prayer in the prayer meeting. My poor wife has been suffering. We got flooded 3 weeks ago. And you've got to say, oh, this is climate change. It's out of God's control. No, it's not. No, climate change has been happening ever since the end of Noah's flood. Okay, but this was one we'd rather happen somewhere else. And so we had smelly carpet, and my grandson, you saw on one of those slides before, he's up helping grandma now pack up all the boxes. And I mean, from a man, I can go to my office, but that's up a bit higher up the hill. But the lady, she's got to struggle with that. Okay, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you from the very beginning. And the whole gospel. All things were made by him. All things were prepared for him. Okay. Evening and morning were the first day. On the first day, the light shone in the darkness and Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, here's the last chance. What have I got left here? Oh, looks like I've only got two things left and a free newsletter, but you already got that. This one here is called Gore, Government or God. It's a 2020 bird's eye view on climate and change. Because being a geologist, I got asked years ago, what does the Bible say about climate? And I remember we did a course on climatology, so I'll drag out all my notes. You know, it's interesting what the secular geologists have said all along, and not too many that are convinced by the current political view, because the rocks tell you the world's been wetter, the world's been warmer, the world's been, hey, this is yours free of charge. Or you can take Walking with Jesus through Gender. I'm desperate to give away this book because I wrote that one. Okay, so anyway, when you have a look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and for the life of me, I forgot what the question was. What was I talking about just before? See if you're listening too. Oh, it's terrible. I was talking about climate change, yeah, but that's just to tempt you on that. It'll come back to me and I'll try and give you a reward for it. Here's our crunch point, and does that ever happen to you, Pastor? That you forget the key point you were just about to make? It's happened to me just now. But let's make the final point then, and I'll remember the other question for tonight, or I'll try and get one for the young people before we finish. Jesus' report, Luke chapter 16. Pastor was talking about hell. It's in the Bible. It's not nice. We don't like to talk about it. It's ghastly. That's why you should warn people in Sydney today who are marching around thinking they're on their way to, they're on their way to nothing, so they may as well enjoy doing what they want. Then the rich man down in hell, he's talking up to Abraham that he can see in paradise. And he said, I beg you therefore, Father Abraham, that you would send Lazarus. Remember the poor man who had sores outside the gate all the day, but he was a believer. That you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, they are Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, do you remember the testimony? Young man, atheist, comes along, God's got me there for his sovereign purposes. Didn't know we'd have an atheist in the audience, even though my dad was an atheist and I came to the Lord through an atheist book. It's interesting. Okay, he's there, and I begin to talk about Noah's flood, Genesis chapter 6. I talked about creation, Genesis chapter 1. I talked about, hey, the books of Moses. I talked about Exodus chapter 20:11, where God's on Mount Sinai talking to Moses. And Abraham says, listen, you want me to send Lazarus back to warn your brothers? I'm not going to do that. They've got Moses. Let them listen to them. Now, to connect all the dots, we had a testimony. Yes, this guy, he believed in 6 days of creation before he became a Christian. Okay? Look what Jesus went on to quote. And the rich man in hell said, no, Father Abraham, if one goes back from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be convinced, even if one rises from the dead. I was sharing with Pastor Todd that Sydney is one of the least areas I ever get invited to speak. Do you know why? You have theological colleges of quite a few flavours who teach you Genesis is not real history, Genesis is symbolic. The days aren't real days, the world is millions of years old. Now, they may think they can get away with that, but the next generation knows very well if Genesis 1 is false, Genesis 2 is false, Genesis 3 is false, John 3 is false. You do know the connection, don't you? Genesis 1 and 2, God made the world and he made it very good. John 1 and 2, a good God became a good man. Genesis chapter 3, we sinned. The world went downhill. Sin's a real problem and therefore death came as a moral penalty and there's no way out till that penalty is paid. John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, you're right, it's in King James again, but it's stuck up there, and it's a really good version of the Bible, that ever believes in him might have what? Eternal life. Get rid of Genesis 1, 2 and 3, and you've got rid of John 1, 2 and 3. Now can you connect the dots in the testimony? You and I often don't see the logic from end to end, but God does. If they believe what Moses wrote, they'll have no trouble believing what I say. Do you know why? You can believe that God made a universe in 6 days. Raising a body from the dead is chicken feed. Yeah, yeah. I mean, making a universe. You tried it lately? Resurrecting the dead? You can't even do that, can you? But you see, the first one is much more impressive than the second. If they don't believe what Moses wrote, if they don't believe the prophets, they won't believe me. Will you pray for our church leaders here in Sydney, who sadly believe the lie that my professor taught me at university, just say God did it, use millions of years of evolution. And you know, as I thought through that, I realised one thing, that if I'm reading Genesis in even a slightly accurate way, it is not saying that. Neither is John's Gospel saying that. But if I read Genesis as meaning God didn't create in 6 days and God didn't make the light and he didn't really mean it was good when it was good and he took millions of years, then John 1, 2 and 3 are meaningless. Okay, final challenge. If you're a Christian who thinks God could have used millions of years to create and Genesis is symbolic, are you also a Christian who's looking forward to Jesus coming again? Okay, Genesis, God made the world in how many days? 6 days. The minute you start to say a day could be 1,000 years or it could have been millions of years old, and then you read the New Testament that promises a new heavens and a new earth. Are you looking forward to that? I mean, I am. I stayed with Bill. I met Bill up in Queensland. He's old. Huh? And him getting sick played a big part in how he comes to Christ and his atheism and all of that. But in reality, remember your creator in the days of your youth before the days come when you start feeling aches in the hip and a pain in the back and you're really a pain in the neck to most people. Yeah, it's a really important learning. You see, if you're a Christian who is looking forward to Jesus coming again and he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth, are you prepared to believe that he's going to take millions and millions of years to remake the heavens and the earth? Because that becomes stupid. And you have nothing to offer anybody at all. I'm looking forward to the new heavens and new earth. And my little memory lapse tells you I need a new heavens and a new earth. I need a new body. So does Pastor Todd. So does Bill. So do all of you. Let's close in prayer. I'll see you at 6 o'clock tonight, and I'll hand back to Pastor Todd. Lord Jesus, we're grateful to you for blessing us, for encouraging us, for giving us your word, which is true from the very beginning and true to the very end. Be with us now. Help us, Lord, particularly with the younger people at lunch. Help us at the book table, Lord. Help us as we share fellowship until Jesus comes, and to reach out to the lost, for they need you so badly, Lord Jesus. Amen.